Senator Harkins? Did you? What? I beg your pardon? What do you mean, who am I? I'm Charlie. For God's sakes, I just got a haircut, that's all. You recognize the tie? I got it out of your closet. If Artillery Branch ever finds out that you had an infantry blue tie in your closet, you're going to come out of the Artillery Hall of Fame. So please cool it while I try to think of something nice to say about you. Those of you who have known Doty and Leonard for many years may wonder why I'm up here speaking about Leonard and Doty. Well, I'll confess to being a black sheep of the Boswell family. The different last names doesn't really mean anything, it's simply an accident of birth. Several years ago, Leonard and I made a pact. Whoever passed on last would speak at the other's funeral. And you could say I drew the short straw. And I'm not sure if I came out loser or winner. Leonard and I became good friends in 1968 and 69 while commanding sister units in the, what we call the rice-rich, or correction, the VC-rich, rice-infested Mekong Delta in Vietnam. That friendship blossomed during 1970 and 73 time frame when we served together at Camp Swampy, better known as Fort Polk in Louisiana. It was there that our families became very close. Doty was already teaching in the Leesville, Louisiana school, elementary school, when we arrived. And she very shortly thereafter informed my wife Ann that they had openings for teachers in the elementary school. And Ann informed her that her degree was in business, not in education. And Doty, with a twinkle in her eye, said, "They'll never know the difference." So she talked Ann into applying for a teaching slot, which she received, and spent the next 28 years in elementary school districts all over the world. Wherever I happened to go, they were always needing teachers. And because of Doty and her relationship with Ann, Ann was always there to fill the slot. The Boswells had a very similar family to ours. They had a daughter named Diana, which happened to be the same age as our daughter, Cheryl. They had a daughter, Cindy, in the same age as our daughter, Cindy. Yes, they were both named Cindy. And their son, Joe, was the same age as our son, Christopher. So we had a great deal in common, and we spent a lot of time together during our time at Swampy, and our two families spent a lot of time on Toledo Bend Lake, boating and fishing and water skiing, and it was there that we established a bond that distance could not break. In February 1969, Leonard's unit was tasked with a mission to spray defoliants on a VC stronghold. Leonard elected to fly the mission himself. He knew it was going to be dangerous, and he wouldn't ask anyone to do something he wouldn't do. He filled out the crew with 3 volunteers. With the cargo doors open on the UH-1, spraying Agent Orange, the cargo doors had to be open so the door gunners could provide some form of suppressive fire. As a result of the open doors, every man in that aircraft was soaked, saturated with Agent Orange. It was unavoidable. The strange but true fact is that Leonard Boswell was mortally wounded by the spray from his aircraft on that occasion. Even though his wound was fatal, it did not take his life until this month. Excuse me, Leonard. It's so seldom I get to say anything nice about you, I get choked up. The wonder of all this is the amount of good that Leonard Boswell was able to accomplish while he was in the process of dying. Leonard was on the fast track in the military when he decided to retire after 20 years of service for the sake of his family. He brought his family home to Iowa and began farming. And he would be the first to tell you that his knowledge of farming left a lot to be desired when he got back. He confided to me one day that the prospect scared the living hell out of him. The move cost the Army a truly great leader. But at the same time, it was a greater win for Iowa and the nation. Leonard truly loved his time in the Iowa Senate and his time in the U.S. Congress. In the later years, when cancer deprived him of the ability to properly nourish his body, combined with the debilitating effects of numerous major surgeries and multiple tries at chemotherapy cures, he finally had nothing more to give. I was with him in the doctor's office in Tucson when they were embarking on one of the many trials they were able to get him in. The doctor said, "It may or it may not work." Leonard said, "That's okay. We can learn whatever we can learn from it." Through all of this, he never lost his lust for life. Dodie never gave up. His optimism was always there. Along with a great sense of humor. I must admit that I led Leonard into a vagabond life in his final years when I convinced him to buy an RV. He admitted that he knew less about RVs than he had known about farming. He wouldn't go on his first trip unless I went with him to show him how to operate the fool thing. I must admit that we had a great time. He ended up with a nice motorhome. Ann and I have a fifth wheel. He always had to outdo me some way. We started our yearly trips to the EAA Oshkosh Air Show and down to the Wingnuts Flying Circus Air Show in Tarkio, Missouri. The Wingnuts is a group of flyers dedicated to the protection of the privilege of flying personal aircraft in U.S. airspace. I'm proud to say that Leonard and I were charter members. That was very fitting to be a Wingnut. Our biggest adventure was a trip out west. And on that trip, I discovered that Leonard had a real flair for comedy. As we went along, we developed a routine to entertain or confound the office personnel when we checked into an RV park. It would always go something like this. Leonard would say, "I paid last time, Charlie, it's your turn." And I would respond, "I paid last time, you said you couldn't find your wallet." And Leonard would say, "Well, forget it, let's just go Dutch." And I'd say, "You mean cheap." And then I would explain to the lady behind the counter that she should not mind my father. We got him out of the home for this trip. This is a bittersweet occasion for everyone close to Leonard and Dodie. We missed them so very much. But I'm so thankful that Leonard's pain and suffering is over. God only knows how much I miss him. In all our years together, we never had a disagreement. When we were not together, We always talked regularly by phone. Leonard always cleaned our talks helped. I really hope so. Leonard had a close personal relationship with a great many people. That's abundantly clear by the number of people at the viewing yesterday and the assembled people here today. The simple truth is, Leonard Boswell truly loved people without reservation. And if a person returned that love, their life was truly blessed. Goodbye, my brother. It was a great ride. And I hope I will be worthy of being in your presence sometime in the future. Thank you.